Hey everybody, welcome to Shift and Steer.
Oh, you got me.
What? What'd you do?
Welcome to the party, pal.
Well, I'm headed there. We gotta welcome everybody to the party, pal.
Man, I was gonna do my double up thing and I messed up your intro.
Well, let's do it. On three. One, two, three.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Come on, man. See, this is what happened, folks. Matt's not here. The triangle is not completed. So we're going to try it one more time. One, two, three. Welcome to the party, pal. Boy, he's got a delay. I don't know what the deal is. But anyway, everybody, welcome to the party, pal. This is Shift and Steer. And we're one man shy. He got stuck on a phone call or something. I think he's just eating breakfast, Aaron. I think he's just, doing something. But I want to tell you today, we're going to tell you about the amazing week in Scottsdale, the results. We talked about it on the last show, but now all the numbers are coming in. It'll blow your mind.
Oh my gosh. That's nuts.
And then we're going to tell you about a new Porsche that's coming out. We're going to tell you, about some craziness in LA. I know it's always crazy in LA, but this tips the scales. And then we're going to talk about what's happening right now. Coming up, the month of February is so over the top. So it's all happening right here today on Shift and Steer. And we're going to start out by telling you about our friends at Geico. Because do you own or rent your own home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy, though? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save.
It's
Geico easy. You.
How much? Me?
You. What? And you. And you. visit geico.com today. That's GEICO.com.
Racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
So we got to get started, even though Maddie's not here yet.
He'll be here. All he's going to do is talk about Fox bodies and that silly truck he's got. All that. Anyway, nothing you haven't heard before.
We're going to talk about the craziness of Scottsdale in January.
Yeah.
Now, we spoke last week real heavily about Barrett Jackson. We kind of, talked a little bit about RM Sotheby's and Bonhams, but you have other auctions going on there. And people
Craigslist.
Hear about it in the media don't know about them, right, Aaron?
Yeah, like Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace. And
No, I'm talking about you've got places like Mag Auctions,
right.
And you have the Worldwide Auctioneers and
Odessa, right? You know, the Odessa auction there too.
Well, that's a new car auction. We're talking about the ones that come to town for the for the big sales, and then they leave town with all their bags of money. So, but what's amazing is that they're totaling these up, and as of the time we're recording this, they're saying that the total sales are coming in close to $500 million. $500 million with a B. I mean, we're talking money that could buy Jeff Bezos's new yacht. Okay.
Yeah. And have the bridge removed.
No. His yacht was $500 million. And then he had to pay $40 million to move the bridge. So we could buy the yacht, but it'd have to stay at the yacht yard. You know.
Yeah. No, so, my tape measure doesn't go as far as $40 billion.
Yeah, I have a calculator that doesn't go that high. Okay, it doesn't have enough zeros. But and that kind of puts it in perspective. Here, we're talking about every guy that flew to town on his jet, every guy that drove in, everybody who lives there, and all the cars they bought for their multiples of collections. And it's not even as much as Jeff Bezos spent on his single yacht. Boy, that's crazy. The roaring 20s. But yeah, I mean, RM Sotheby's has been reporting 95% sale of its lots at $43.3 million.
Wow. And
when you compare that to Barrett Jackson's over $200 million, maybe doesn't sound that great. But wait a minute. RM Sotheby's is only a two-day auction. So they're not a whole week. So that's what's amazing. Hey, Matt wants to be admitted. Should we admit him now that, you know?
Yeah, but tell him we already covered all that.
Yeah. Aaron said that we should admit Matt, so we're going to go ahead and do it. Let him in. And Matt, we have already covered all the Fox Body information for the day, so yep. I'm sorry.
We updated them. Left. We updated them on your mezzanine. And
We opened up the show, and we have been talking about that they're bringing in numbers now collectively for all the auctions
billions
in Scottsdale.
And
we mentioned how collectively all of the auctions almost got to $500 million, so we still couldn't buy Jeff Bezos' yacht and move the bridge with what all of the auctions did.
I heard about his yacht. That sounds fantastic.
Pretty crazy. But yeah, so we hit on RM Sotheby's and their total of 43.3. We talked last week about Barrett Jackson and their sales at $203.2 million. And Bonhams came in and reported some very nice sales. They had a grand total of 11.4 million, 89 car lot catalog. Some of the other ones like the Motorsport Auction Group and, Gooding's sale, as well as there's one I'm forgetting here, guys. Worldwide Auctioneers. They're still totaling up some sales, I guess. Anyways, we're looking. I take that back. Gooding has since reported 88% of its 57 lots sold for a total of $6.962 million. So I
think the footage was just released of Worldwide Auctions arguing about prices in the parking lot.
So it's pretty crazy, but that's what makes the auction week weeks in Scottsdale so nice and so exciting and so fun to be part of. And now we wait till the next big weeks of auctions up in Monterey in August, where we can see everybody converge on a town again and lots of money come in.
You guys going there?
I'm going to try and make it back up there this year. I haven't made it because of the pandemic years, but if things are right and the stars align, I would like to go. But
yeah, me too. I just had a buddy say he had a house.
That's the big thing.
Yeah. And it's actually affordable.
That's another big thing.
Yeah, the last time I tried to go, my buddy's like, hey, I got a nice house. It's right by the golf course. I'm like, cool. What's my spot? He says about $3,500. I'm like for the week. He goes, no, a night. I'm like, okay, I'll pass.
I know.
Wow.
That year that we were all up there and I was filming for BBC. And
that's right.
Remember when Ferrari had their little thing? We all went to that. And they had like the gas station and the hospitality and everything. And we had a house right up that street that BBC did. And it was awesome. I mean, it was one of those really trick Monterey homes. And they were paying like $10,000 a night, man. That was like,
I think that's what the house was, because that was split. Like it was $35 each a night for like four people. It's like each. I'm going,
We're not Adam Carolla. We're not Adam Carolla. We can't afford that kind of stuff, you know?
Believe me, we rent a house out there from a guy that we've been renting the same place for a long time. And, not nowhere near that. I think we're there for the whole week at about that cost. Like we don't. Yeah.
What, it's a tough shed? Like that at all. A tough shed in somebody else's backyard?
Yeah, it's a tough shed with some cots.
Hey, so I'm pretty excited. I was looking this morning online, and I don't know if you guys have seen this, but you know, there's always been talk that Porsche was working on a Porsche Safari, like a
overlander. The 911 Safari.
And now they've announced it, the 911 Dakar. Have you seen this?
Yes.
Looking it up right now.
A factory lift, smaller rims with a much bigger sidewall, which again means smaller brakes because you don't have a big 19 or 20 inch wheel. Naturally aspirated. This thing looks badass, man. I mean, now, how nice would it be to have the kind of money to go buy a 911 just for overlanding and stuff, you know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. It's like Porsche is so good at doing so many variants of the 911, so many special variants that are worth money. I was like, at this point, this is just existing Porsche customers get a new toy and something kind of cool and collectible. I don't think there's any scenario where, hey, I'm new to Porsche and my first Porsche is going to be the 911 Safari version, the Dakar. I don't think that's going to happen.
Wait a minute, Matt.
What are they going to make? 50 of them? 100 of them? It can't be that many.
They haven't even announced that yet. And they haven't announced pricing or anything. But, you know, I guarantee it'll probably be like an inflated price and you get smaller brakes. Smaller tires,
no AC,
you get less horsepower.
no interior.
so what it sounds like to me is the way I would ever get one would be to find one wrecked in a year or two and then steal the parts off and put it on a 911 that's still around or go to the parts bin, you know. But,
not competition actually, because I believe Singer just got. Yeah, how about Singer's version of that?
Yeah, there's going to be $1 million, though. Singer's is
really cool. So
yeah, except there's something up with that story. Something happened. Yeah, like Porsche didn't like the idea, or the client that they made it for didn't like the idea. I can't say for sure that Singer is still making those. Now, I could be wrong. I just thought as I was going through a bunch of notes recently that. That deal wasn't really happening.
Well, it might have been the customer, Matt, because I heard something that the customer who they built it for got it and then wants to sell it now. You know, maybe it wasn't as exciting as he thought.
But I think the customer like paid to have that made, and there was some arrangement that he's like, you can make more. And then I think the answer was no.
There and both of them were commissioned supposedly. So
I heard this from Singer directly was that the customer was dissatisfied that it would not jump like the Fall Guy truck.
Brad.
But that 911 Dakar, and when they've got it in the race livery, it looks so good. They show it on the test track in all black, and it looks like, oh, wow, why is that Porsche raised up?
It looks broken.
When you see it in the race livery, it looks so neat, man. I mean, it just looks like, wouldn't that be just such a cool car to drive around? And, you know,
it does. It's cool. I don't know. Should I do it to my Cayman? I lowered my Cayman. Raise it back up.
You'll never get out of your neighborhood otherwise.
Exactly. You know what? It's sitting in the shop with the car cover and a SeaTech trickle charger on it. So,
hey,
battery management system.
Let's talk about something we can't and can't afford in the same conversation.
Well, we just did.
No, we talked about something we can't afford. Now we're going to talk about something we can and can't afford.
We just did.
Of course not. We had this conversation in my office just last week after the NFL playoff game here at SoFi Stadium. And I heard a report of a guy that was arrested across street from SoFi because he had cut a chain link fence. Did you guys hear about this? There was a parking lot that was empty. And so he got there early in the morning, cut the chain link fence, curled it back. And when everybody started coming for the game, he opened up the lot and said, $100 a spot. And and nobody figured it out until, like, somebody saw, you know, wait a minute, that's Bob's lot. And so the police showed up, towed away all the cars. I'm sure there were some very unhappy people and arrested
them. Oh, yeah.
And but what it came up to say was that $100 a spot across the street and down the block. Do you know how much it was to park at SoFi Stadium for the playoff game?
A couple hundred bucks.
$1,000 a spot.
Obviously,
so then that brought it to my question was, wow. Hell, if it's $1,000 for a playoff game, what are they going to be charging for the Super Bowl, you know? And can we say Super Bowl? Or do we have to say the big game? Anyways, so
I don't follow sports ball.
So yeah. So I found an article on Jalopnik and it was so awesome. It was right in tune with this, which is they found out that the parking spots for the big game are going to be between $1,000 and $4,800 each.
Oh, come on, man.
So they did a cool little slideshow of cars they found available in LA. And they said, why get a parking spot when you can buy a car?
Yeah.
And they found cars for $5,000, right around $5,000. And one of them actually was a car I would go, whoa, wait a minute, I'd buy that. It was $3,500 and it was a 2004 BMW 325 wagon. And it had pretty decent, like 75,000 miles. The body looked good. It said the AC blows cold and it has current plates. And I thought, for $3,500, that thing's got to be sold by now.
Wow.
They also showed a 98 Ford Ranger with certain mileage like that, 5,100, and a 2003 Mercedes S500 AMG, one of the most atrocious Mercedes, in my opinion, but it was $4,400. And that just kind of shows we could go out and buy any of those cars, but I don't think a single one of us would go buy one of those parking spaces. Because the tickets for the Super Bowl,
Uber.
I also looked the tickets for the Super Bowl, the worst seat in the house. Top at the end in the corner, your back's against the cement wall is $6,100 if you can get it through the ticket office. So if you got to buy it somewhere else, there's going to be a premium. The most expensive ticket, $28,200. So you could go, by the time you park, you buy two tickets, you buy something to eat, couple things to take home with you. You got $100,000 game there. You know, it's pretty crazy.
That is so, I mean,
of course, Matt would fly in by helicopter and wouldn't have to worry about a parking space.
I was just going to say, if I can just rope down from a helicopter, I'd rather spend $10,000 on a helicopter. And at least on the way out, when everyone's trying to sit there all night, get their cars out of there, exactly, or wait for an Uber line.
But I mean, that's just nuts. For the helicopter. That's crazy, yeah, man. I mean, it's
just silly. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not a sports person, so I really don't get it.
Can you think? I know, neither am I. And can you think of a single event, even like a Formula One event, where if they said, hey, we're going to set you up at Monaco, we're going to do all this, you got to get there and you got to buy your parking space, and the parking space was $5,000 or $6,000, would you do it? I mean, I don't know. I mean, because I know a guy who has a yacht in the Monaco Harbor, and he's invited me many times, and once Ferrari, when I was working with them, they invited me to go to Monaco. And he's like, yeah, and you can come to a yacht. And his yacht sits right there. You see him zoom by, and he rents it out. He does, like, parties, and it's a huge yacht, and people pay to be on there. And I asked him once, I go, what do you charge people? And he goes, oh, it's like $20,000 per person per day. And I'm like going, whoa. But I've never gone because I can't afford the hotels. The hotels, you got to stay somewhere else and almost like fly in every day because the hotel rooms are so damn expensive.
You can stay on Bezos' yacht. I heard he's got space.
Yeah. Well, he's got to get it out of the channel first, and he's got to
get it out of the channel first. Did you hear a little sad news in the aftermarket world?
No, what's that?
The sad news. is we are done with the LS7 crate engine and the LS427 crate engine. So one's the dry sump and one's the wet sump. They have been discontinued from the Chevy Performance catalog. And we just await on the future what it holds. I don't know if there's going to be anything new, but Chevrolet Performance said that anybody that has orders in, of course, they will get their engines. They're going to fulfill all of the orders, but it's had a good run.
Yeah.
You know, we've had this, the LS7, the crate engine for a long time. This was the, you know, the Z06 engine, the 7 liter, 427 cubic inch, right? Was it 505 horsepower? I think. I think it made a little bit more horsepower with the wet sump version, but.
And I will tell you, I had a little pre-notice on this. I knew it was happening, and I actually forgot about it until you told me. And the reason I knew, Matt, was because our friend Larry Dixon, top fuel champion, GM had granted him one of those to put in his Nova, in his little Nova, and. He said he got a call the other day, it was at PRI. He said he talked to the guys at PRI, and he goes, I got good news and bad news at PRI. And I go, what's that? And he goes, well, he goes, they gave me that motor, and they told me that, hey, Larry, I know you're going to be doing a bunch of stuff with your car. We may have to send you a new motor because we're not going to be doing that motor anymore. And he goes, so I think I'm getting a new motor for my car, and my other one hardly has any miles on it, you know? So,
He already had one, so he.
Yeah, to be, you know, top fuel champion because GM calls you, you know? So.
Yeah, but look, that was a great engine. There was a lot of hot rod awesome build. Awesome engine. Why? It's just been around for a long time. There's just new technologies that are out, and. They've had to keep, keep sourcing, I don't know, parts and blocks and everything else that they needed for it. And it's just not an engine that's in their lineup anymore, you know?
But if they're still selling them like crazy, you'd think it'd be a no-brainer.
Yeah, well, but you got to keep in mind that.
Maybe they're not. Maybe the other one is selling, you know?
I mean, you got to keep in mind that they can sell a handful of crate engines, but when the engine is in a production vehicle as well, making tens of thousands of that engine, exactly. And that's where it makes sense. But if they're not even using the parts, not even the full LS7 engine, if they're not using just like block or heads or anything in any of the V8 cars or trucks or Cadillacs or whatever, then it doesn't make sense anymore. Now it's just a crate engine business.
I get it. You know? Yeah.
I'm excited to see what's going to come. I know they're going to come out with something, so let's see what it's going to be.
An electric crate motor.
Well, we're seeing those.
Who's going to that crazy Coliseum clash race this weekend, the NASCAR event that they're billing as Hollywood NASCAR?
I have to move the warehouse this weekend, so I can't go. But we just had Jamie Little stop by. She's the NASCAR pit reporter, been with them for a long time. She's great. She's lovely. She could drive, too, by the way. She won the 2008, something like that. No, maybe it was after that. She won the Toyota Pro Celebrity Race.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I wasn't even born then. At Long Beach? I was still a toddler.
Yeah. She won one of those.
That's a scary track. Well.
So we had a nice conversation about that. But she's like, this thing is going to be fun. They took that Coliseum, they laid down the dirt, and then they asphalt the whole thing for the weekend, just so they can tear it all out later.
Because the turf's still under there, right?
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
On top of the field. And I go, I mean, I guess, like, we've seen, you know, motocross, they bring the dirt. Monster Jam, you know, they set up the whole track out there, and then they bring it home. But they don't let pavement, they don't pour pavement down there.
Dude, that is serious. I mean, that's serious stuff. I mean, back when I used to do the BMX races, I've told you guys, we started going into like baseball fields, and they would lay plywood, visqueen, and then the dirt. And the very first one we ever did was at Cashman Field in Las Vegas. And we were like, Thursday was the, sign up. Friday was the pre-race. Then you have Saturday and Sunday. Saturday morning, the greenskeepers were out there with estimators walking around with clipboards. And we walk up to them, go, what are you doing? They're going, oh, we're estimating how much you're going to have to pay us because you screwed everything up. We had to re-turf it and pay for all these broken sprinklers and stuff.
It was way back before
Supercross was going to do. And then we learned from Supercross and stuff, but God, it was a mess. I can't imagine putting asphalt down, Matt.
I didn't know the venue was that big, but they expect 60,000 people. It's nearly sold out. But then I was like, oh, it's Clash at the Coliseum. I was like, it's going to be carnage. It's high speed, a lot of cars, short track. And then she said, oh, it's going to be fantastic because in NASCAR, they've got all new cars, new design, the new stock cars. And I'm like, green earth would they bring all the new cars out to this event? She's like, why not bring all of last year's cars that you're going to pretty much disassemble anyway and just smash the shit out of them? And she said, she's like, it has been discussed, but I think, I think the pitch was, it's a selling point for the new look for the new car. So like, this is expensive. This is an expensive race. It looked like it's going to be fun, but I mean, I wish I could go, but can't go.
They did some fantastic Photoshop work on their promo photos where they've got that helicopter shot of the stadium at night. The track's all paved and they got the cars racing on it and the stands look full. And it looks like a real shot. You know, somebody did some awesome Photoshop
When they built it and paved it, they did a time-lapse drone footage. They had one up the whole time. And it's up on YouTube and you can see everything, how they did it. Cause it's been there for a little while now because it has to dry and settle and stuff. Right. So,
they've been building it forever. I mean, it seems like a month or something. But think how long it takes the city just to patch holes. You know, I mean, they're building the whole track.
Well, the city is definitely not doing this.
Yeah.
And by the way, patching holes doesn't make them any money. It only costs them money. And they only want to do shit that makes them money.
The only thing that I have a real problem with the Coliseum is parking. I mean, God, it's just the worst place to try and get away from and survive. You know,
I heard you can park across the street at the Taco Bell for $1,000 a day.
It's the mobile station down the street. And they'll steal your Monte Carlo SS while you're in there, man.
I'm sure they will.
But, we also have we spoke about all these big events. Let's not forget about NHRA, the opening event of the year, the Winter Nationals. And we talked about it earlier. There's so many team change-ups, all new paint schemes. Dave Merrick, who you know, and we've talked about many times on the show, our friend, he's actually in Indy right now making a big round because he's doing all of Ganassi's Indy cars, doing their paint schemes, and they're supervising the wrap to make sure they're all done right. Then he's headed this afternoon over to Tony's shop with Leah so that he can see how the wraps are going together on the semis and everything. And so and then he said he has to go by Shoe Racing and check because he does all their stuff for caps and everybody. So he's busy, you know, and he's ready to see those wraps and those paint schemes that he put together and get them out because it's a brand new season. So many change-ups. And even our friends over at Jegs changed up their paint scheme. Did you see their flip-flop paint scheme they did?
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, it does. It looks really cool. And you guys going to the drag races? Gonna see you out there?
Only if it's in Sonoma.
Not. It's not. The Winter Nationals would truly be the Winter Nationals up there, but
right.
You gonna make it out? You think or
The 17th through 20th? That's the weekend, 17th right? 17th through 20th.
So it's basically if you go on Saturday and Sunday, it's the 19th and 20th.
Yes, I think I can make it out there, and Yeah, I think I'm going to try to make it out there.
Good. We'll see you out there because I'm going to go out.
I'm so booked this month. I got to do 3 really big paintings for Movo, actually. So I was commissioned by Movo. But
what's Movo?
Yeah. Movo's a cash app. It's trying to figure that out. They gave me an account and they want to pay me in Movo. And I'm like, I don't do any crypto. He's like, it's not crypto, although it can accept crypto. I don't know.
It's like a
Venmo
PayPal.
I'm trying to think of the one that my customers always want to pay me. But I can't,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. Movo's like PayPal or Venmo.
Drop cash in your account and it's there.
Yeah. Boom. That sounds cool. Sounds fun.
Oh, totally cool. But I'm really excited. It's a Porsche and a jet and some stuff. It's neat. It's neat work. I'm really excited.
Yeah. Don't let them talk you into doing accurate reproductions, true to size of $100 bills. You can get in trouble.
Yeah. We're going to scale them down.
Yeah.
So you're moving, huh, Matt?
Yeah, so moving the warehouse. Wow. We started doing stuff over there. I took the Toyota lift truck, right? Like it's kind of like the pallet jack, but it's right, motor, it's a walkie stacker. It's
you got a Toyota lifted truck?
It's kind of like a lift truck. You guys have seen it. It's
yes,
it's
the thing. Yeah.
And
awesome.
First of all, it just keeps beeping. It just beeps so loud. Forward, backward, beep, beep,
oh,
beep,
no.
beep. And I keep asking the guys at Toyota, I'm like, it's got the light on it. Do I need the beep? Can we turn the beep off? And they're like, we think we can turn the beep off, but talk to the tech guys. And the tech guys aren't here because apparently there's bad weather in places outside of California and no one has gone to work. Yeah.
Real
so
bad.
I can't get a hold of those guys, but I was looking at the red car, the 93 Cobra. And I was like, I got to take this down over there. And I was like, I wonder if this thing can tow. So got some straps and it worked out fine. What didn't work out as fine was my roller jacks. So I had to ditch the roller jacks after about halfway through.
Oh, sure, they're going to go sideways.
Yeah. And first I had it on all four to get it out of the garage, and then when I got it out, I took the rears off, and then for some reason the front ones, I don't know, one of them got hung up on the ground and snagged and kind of turned underneath the tire, and I was like, this is a pain in the ass. So
that's not what they're made for, Matt.
That's not what they're made for. But I will tell you, not having to push that car and being able to tow it, even though it was a bit of a hassle, you know, with the jacks and everything, definitely saves the legs, the shoulders, the back, you know, using that thing. I just had to do it at night because it's just beep, 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 beep the whole time. And,
so you know, I can get rid of the beeping. I can give you a shortcut on that.
Yeah, plug the speaker as soon as I find it.
Quit cussing.
Yeah. There was a bit of that.
As far as that goes, I'm picking up my, I finally got a forklift. I'm picking it up either Monday or Tuesday. It's a probably late 60s, gas powered.
Where'd you find it at?
It's been sitting outside for a long time.
Is it in Reno or Tahoe or where?
It's in Reno. It's actually at my buddy's Land Rover place where they're working on my Land Rover. I was out stripping down my Land Rover and putting it on my Jeep, and I look in the corner and there's a forklift covered with like just stuff. And I'm like, hey, there's a forklift over there. So I go inside, I'm like, hey, what are you doing with that old forklift? He goes, oh, I bought another one. So I'm like, you want to sell it? He's like, $1,000, it's yours. I said, runs and drives? He goes, probably, yeah.
No. The key is like when you buy a car. When it was parked, it ran perfectly.
Yeah. Ran perfect when parked. Ran when parked. Yeah.
So he's going to move it, make sure it's running good on Monday, and then I'm going to go pick it up. So I got a $1,000 forklift. Woo! No side shit.
How are you $1,000 now? You got to see what you got to put into it.
Have you priced hydraulic lines?
Now, how much is the flatbed to move it going to cost you?
Well, that's what I'm looking into. I'm looking in to see if my trailer will move it or if it's going to dent my floor of the trailer.
Your trailer.
It's a small one. It's only a 3,500 pound lift. So I don't know. It should only be, 40,000 pounds or so?
How far? But you got to be careful.
How far is Reno? Just drive it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reno to Tahoe. It's about an hour and 20 minute drive. Yeah.
Forklift.
2 days. Yeah. 2 days. No, I think he said just call AAA. I'm going to see how that.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Put the plate off your Land Rover on it and just go, yeah. It's a plate number such and such. Well, I mean, it's in my file. Yeah.
No, actually, I'm going to go to Harbor Freight and get a couple wheel dollies. And
just drag it
and tow it behind the Jeep.
Hey, don't they make a lifting drone you can just fly at home?
There you go.
I see your hand is wrapped, Brad. Did you have some issues building your lev rack system?
No, I've just got arthritis and I'm old, and this is compression, and it's supposed to help that because that's my
what
mouse
are you talking
hand.
About?
We're looking at the lev rack over here. We're talking about lifting it with this thing and moving it over there. Couple issues, you know, lifting it and tying the drawers down is one issue. And then getting a 12-foot wide lev rack through a 9-foot wide hole.
the door.
Like real kind of angle thing. Listen, if this Toyota lift truck had the crab walk mode of the Hummer EV, then problem would be solved, but it doesn't seem to have that. So I've got a few little things to work out, but we'll see how that goes.
I'll tell you what though, I've been, you know, kind of planning out my shop and everything and where the lev rack's going to go. And at Barrett Jackson, the lev rack booth, they had that old CB125 up on top, you know, showing that it supports weight. And I went,
Yeah, they had the motorcycle up there.
I went, that might be where that KZ1000 I bought ends up because it's kind of beyond restoration. But I thought if I paint the tank and the sides and the fenders and make it look good, it'd be a perfect place to have it because the 750 is going to be my running bike. But that one might find its place right up top of there with a nice paint job on it, you know?
Well, yeah. It's funny you say that because I ordered tires for all the Isettas, so I got those. And I'm going to sandblast the wheels and then just put a off-white powder coat on them. And I think the Isettas, the way they're stripped out right now, are about 550 pounds. So I think I can put all the Isettas on top of my. I gotta talk to Ryan to make sure, but so I have space in between the rafters that I can put an Isetta at 3/4 because they're only 5 feet deep. I mean,
so it's an Isetta rack.
Yeah, so you put that at an angle, then it'll sit on 4 feet.
If you can, so
I'll put on top pallets. Of.
So yeah, it's got to be on something because
I'll put them on pallets. So it works.
Like the cage that's up there doesn't hold enough weight. It flexes a lot. You got to get it on the beams for sure. But
yeah, so what I'm going to do is mount them with like big U-bolt, the big tall strap bolts. I'm going to mount them onto the pallets and then I'm going to forklift them on to the top of the rack so that the pallets come to the edge of the railing. On the lev rack. I'm going to talk to Ryan, make sure it's all good. But
so you think that like these motorcycles, I should strap them down or something? They can't just sit up there.
They can't. Yeah, Brad, do whatever you want. Don't let us dictate.
Oh, I'm good.
No, what you do is you insure them for a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
And then the first little shaker, they fell. Oh my God.
Yeah. Just be sure to put like a little yellow sticky pad underneath the side stand so it doesn't fall through the cage.
All kidding aside, I'll put a 4x4 under the kickstand so it's level. I mean, come on.
Hey, listen, speaking of insurance, I got the call this morning for my car that's being shipped. And
oh, yeah.
They said there was an issue.
Are you kidding?
Oh, no.
Yeah, they said something. They fucked up the paint or something on the car.
What
they put it underneath? Well, first this is exactly what they said. They said the car was recently painted and when we were loading it or moving it, the weather caused some issue and fucked the paint up. It's not our fault. And I said, that car is all original with 3,600 miles on it. If anything, it wasn't recently painted. They're like, yeah. No, our driver says it's recently painted. Yeah. I was like, all right, this is why we're already going to have an issue.
Even if it was recently painted, does it matter if they screwed it up?
Yeah. So they're like, not our fault. It's a weather thing. It's the paint thing. It's anything our fault.
Insurance companies love to blame it on an act of nature. It's a clause in the contracts. It happened to me, and they would not cover it. That they would not cover it because they said the wind blew the door open and caused it to fold in half after the other car drove through it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to see what this thing looks like.
Leaking transmission fluid on your car and eating the paint. That's an act of nature because transmission fluid originally was extracted from the ground.
Right.
So
yeah.
So dinosaurs did it.
Well, that sucks.
I get it. I was supposed to get it tomorrow, but I think it's going to come Sunday morning. So we're recording this on a Friday. I got
now this is your Mustang? Your new Mustang?
I didn't want to say the word. Brad loses his mind every time I say it.
Sorry. No, I told you. We already talked about Fox Body Mustangs today.
Not a Fox Body. It's not a Fox
It's not.
Body.
It's not. It's a SAC Mark One.
Yeah.
SAC Mark One.
Rolled in a Fox Body.
Oh, man. I'm so sorry.
But that sucks. Well, stressful. Hopefully it's not too bad and can be repaired and not screwed up.
I mean, you know, everything could be fixed. It's just, you know, whatever.
It's just you're excited to see it for the first time, get it, and you don't want it to be like a hassle. So that's the problem.
I had a trucking company go and get this thing, and then I got a call at 7 a.m. and Tammy's like, who's calling you? I go, it's the trucking company. The trucking companies are the only ones that call at 7 a.m.
Right.
They'll call you and they'll say,
I get calls at 4 a.m.
They'll call you and they'll say, we're here, or without heads up, which is, that's their go-to move. Or they'll call you and say, your car got fucked up, right? So they already called on the car fucked up part. So we'll see what happens tomorrow or the next day at 7 a.m. They're like, we're here.
No, they're going to call and go, there's going to be a little delay because – you know what? The driver, he dropped it off at Rudy's body shop in Idaho. It's a friend of his. And he's going to fix that car. In fact, he's painting it candy wrapple red for you, man.
Perfect.
No,
getting better.
According to my body guy, there's only one shade of white, and he's got it in stock. So you're good.
Yeah.
It's kind of a yellowy white that he's putting on there, but it's going to be good. It's going to match.
It's all. He said he'll have his son shake it up because he's got better elbows.
Hey, Matt, when they deliver it, if they have to push it off and the guy pulls the, it ran good when we loaded it.
Yeah, right. It ran when we loaded it.
Hey, why are my rear tires bald?
It runs and drives. It's got to be clean. By the way, I can't wait to. I've been doing more and more research, talking to a few people on social media that reached out about the dry ice blasting.
Oh yeah, I'm interested.
I got some pretty different numbers on like what it would cost to do something like that, but.
Dry ice is expensive as it is, so you start blasting it.
But the process seems very interesting, certainly because the car was on the East Coast and the salt and everything else, so a good cleaning. I think we're going to do it on a lift and do the entire undercarriage, wheels off, wheel wells, and then lower it in an engine compartment and everything. So everything exposed that's not on top painted. Top painted is a different issue.
Let me know because I'm really
interested in that process. Clean and buff and sand and do all other stuff.
Where are you doing this, Matt? Are you doing this in your old warehouse or your new warehouse?
No. So that's kind of the thing is even if I get a lift over here at some point, it's not something they're telling me that I want to do inside.
No, you do not want to do it. Take it somewhere that they do it and have it done. It is messier than
I was going to say, because the ice might melt, but it comes off the car.
So the issue is, is getting the car there. Obviously, it runs, but both of the companies that reached out to me, they were very nice. They're a little bit of a drive, and I just don't know if I want to make the drive, and especially when it's all clean and after the blasting's done, I don't have to drive 100 miles home.
Matt,
right.
You know, so I guess I'm gonna have to trailer it.
Company, okay?
Yeah. So. I'm gonna have to figure out to trailer it and something along the lines of that. But I am very interested in the process. I want to see how it comes out. I've seen a lot of the photos and some of the videos and talking to the guys, and
pretty cool, huh?
And yeah, and just, you know, the experience that they have and their thoughts on, you know, what do you do after it and whatnot. And there's some thoughts on there, Cosmoline and
W40 and just spray it over the whole car.
Yeah. I mean, they're doing different type of like wax and Cosmoline and things like that, but that attracts a lot of dirt. They're so far, the one consistent thing is both guys are saying, if you're in California, don't do anything.
Yeah. You're fine.
You know, and you know, obviously like the drive shaft and the rear differential rust very easily.
Yeah, if you're near the ocean or something, you know, yeah, but
yeah. So if you wanted to spray a little something on that or wipe it down with something,
I mean, honestly, Matt, if it doesn't, parts that don't get hot, they have ceramic coat products, for different areas like that, which you could totally use. You know,
how much are you going to drive the car though, Matt?
That's the thing. It's not going to go that much. It might go to a few events. And then even after the events, you can always put it on the rack and clean it down. Not a full dry ice blasting. It's just once it's done, you just keep it clean. It's going to be fine.
My Motion Vega is a real good example of where that car is exactly. The exhaust doesn't have a coating on it. The cast iron parts, they're like they came off the factory. Now that car's got 20,000 miles on it. It goes nowhere, you know, but it has been driven, and you know what? The cast iron parts got a little bit of a discoloration, but they're not even rusty because we don't have that kind of weather here.
Yeah. We
don't need to do anything, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think this will take a lot of the surface stuff off of it. And, you know, like I said, the drive shaft and the rear diff usually get, you know, the rear axle usually get all that surface rust and stuff. This will clean it as best as you can.
And
that's it. I don't think it's really going to need anything else. You know, maybe some paint touch-up work apparently now.
Well, Matt, too, as far as my understanding is with the dry ice, it doesn't go as deep as sandblast. I know, you know, the pressure can be adjusted, but the ice particles themselves, I don't think have the tolerance to like strip off all the paint. Take off, you know, some compromised undercoating maybe, but it's not gonna, you're not gonna see polished metal underneath like you would, you know, on a sandblaster. It really is a lighter touch, so you'll probably
very light. Yeah,
you'll probably have intact whatever surface coating or whatever is on there. You'll probably have that. The other thing you can do too is, have you looked into those, I forget what they're called, a carbon dioxide laser or something, but they actually remove rust. I mean, strip it right down to bare metal again. You could always do something like that if you want to, you know, take some of those things back down to metal without having to soda blast it. You could soda blast it too. Soda blasting's pretty
cool. I don't think I have to. And even some other guys pointed out that they took their cars to some of the big car shows where they really compete, you know, for the 100-point, whatever. And one of the guys actually went really far and cleaned up the car. And somebody else cleaned it up. But the guy that went almost too far got dinged because there wasn't any like surface rust on that drive shaft, which would have happened, right? It ended up looking restored, not preserved. Right. And it depends on like what you're competing for. Is it a restoration or is it preservation?
Yeah.
And right now I think we're looking more at preservation than anything else. But
you know, the other alternative is you could always just take it somewhere and have the entire underside Z-barded or just undercoated. You know, that would look so good, Matt.
Let's not do that.
That would hide everything.
Yeah.
That would hide everything. Yeah. I don't have to clean anything.
Of course, you never get a bolt off or anything like that, but you don't need to.
Right.
So, hey guys, we're like, we're just jabbering away and we're way over the hour, but lots of events coming up. If you see us somewhere, say hi. You know, you can always slip us $100 bills. You know, we won't make a big deal about it. And, you know, hey, thanks for listening to Shift and Stare. Double A, Ron. You know what I'm going to ask you?
You can find me in all my madness at anywhere as Aaron Hagar.
And on Zolo cards, it sounds like.
Movo.
Whatever, it's fine. Yeah, follow me at Moderator on social media, and I'll try to get some goofy pics of moving shops and when the car arrives. Maybe a little video of that thing going off the back of a truck when it arrives. Me being happy, then me seeing this paint fuck up, being sad. So
there you go. It'll go viral. So, hey, everybody, follow me on Instagram at Bradley_Fanshaw. I just put up my Leverack crates have arrived, and I put something up.
Yeah.
Stay tuned, because the whole shop is going to be redone, and you'll see it. See my staircase to the mezzanine that I can't get to right now will be coming together.
You got
to
do before and afters, Brad. You got to do
I know,
before
you're
and
right. I do, and and I will. And other than that, follow Bond Speed Wheels on Instagram as well, because I got to sell Bond Speed Wheels to pay for all that. So,
Brad, make me some center caps.
I should do that, shouldn't I? Why don't you ever ask me to
remember those?
Like, yeah, it's been 2 years.
Well, I knew that car wasn't progressing, that it wasn't like a.
Listen, Brad, I had to tow that car from this shop to the other shop in the public without center caps on.
Oh, crazy.
Okay, you sold me now. We don't want it out of it's out of the garage. So
now nobody knows who made those wheels.
Yeah,
exactly. So, all right, everybody, drink Bravago, roll on Bond Speed, and order art from Aaron so that we can keep right doing on. This. And also, subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating. I don't even know if they still do that, because they don't show any ratings or anything anymore. But anyways, everybody, thanks for listening to Shift and Stare. We'll see you next week.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
A word from our friends at Geico. Maybe you own your home or you rent your home. Either way, it can be a lot of work. But you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home already. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.